The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parsha is Parshas Acharei Mais Kedoshim. Last week was Tazri Metzera. Metzera is very related to the Easter, to the prohibition of Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara, when one slanders his fellow man, so the Torah tells us that the punishment of Metzera, of leprosy, whatever that was a disease which we do not have now, but which was in those days, would come upon a person. In this week's Parsha Kedoshim, we have the actual prohibition for Lashon Hara, where it states in right near the beginning in Perek Yud Tes Posuk Tes Zayin Leiselich Rochel Ba'amecho, that a person should not be a rochel, a gossiper amongst his nation, amongst your nation. Because of this, I would very much like to base the shir on a facet of Lashon Hara. I hope some of you will forgive me. I'm going to deviate from a principle which I usually kept in the past, and that was not to repeat a shir over which was given the past Shabbos. But because of the importance of this, I would like to basically give the shir this evening, which I gave this past Shabbos, to those that were at the Shabbos shir, though. Firstly, is I can tell them that they won't lose by hearing it a second time when we speak about these prohibitions. Secondly, there will be some added information for them, and so there'll be something new for them also. And again, I want to bear down on one aspect of Lashon Hara. The Torah tells us here, Leiselich Rochel Ba'amecho, you shall not be a Rochel, a gossiper in your nation. Leisamer al dam re'echo, you shall not stand by the blood of your fellow man. Ani Hashem, I am the Lord your God. What does the word rochel mean? We could translate it as a gossiper. It's also translated as a talebearer. The actual word means a peddler, someone who peddles his wares. And it's referring to a person who goes from house to house and peddles his wares, but his wares is information. Or, like Rashi explains on the Posuk, a person who goes from house to house to see what information he can glean. Or he goes to different people. Or he goes to different functions, different gatherings, to see what information he can glean, and this he can carry to other people. So that's what the word rochel means. A peddler, he is peddling his wares. It states, Leisamer al dam re'echo, in the same pasuk, the Torah is teaching us that someone who is this talebearer or gossiper, he is equal to someone who stands by and sees his fellow man's blood being spilled, and he does nothing about it. Then the Torah tells us, Ani Hashem. We have a principle, wherever it states Ani Hashem, this means HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I am the Lord your God, and I'm Neman L'Shalem. I will pay you for what you do good, I will pay. For what you do that is not good, I will also pay. If you do not speak gossip or talebearing or Lashon Hara, then I will reward you. If you do, then I will also give you what is coming to you. And also, Ani Hashem comes to tell us that many times when a person does this talebearing, so he does it in a way in which he justifies himself. He does it in a way where people might not know he's doing it, or he does it in a way where he says, look, really I shouldn't say this, but it's important for you to know, or really I shouldn't say it, but it's a mitzvah to say it, and so forth and so on. He justifies it. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ani Hashem, you can justify yourself all you want, but I am the one who will judge you. And Kodesh Baruch Hu knows how to judge people, and he knows when it comes to right and wrong. Now, According to the Rambam, this Pasuk comes to tell us the Isur also of Loshon Hara, not only of tale-bearing, but of slandering. Actually, it's a machlekes, it's an argument between the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam learns this only comes for Rechilus, for tale-bearing. According to the Rambam, it comes for both. But at any rate, the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Deos, he explains that there are four categories when it comes to speaking badly about a fellow man. The first category is this Rechilus. The second category is this Rechilus we will elaborate on this evening. The second category is Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara is Leganes Hashem Chaverei Bifnei Acherim. B'divrayas. That is to damage a person's reputation, a person's character, with divrei emes, with statements which are true, in the presence of other people. If you tell someone that Reuven is a thief, or Reuven is not a good person, or Reuven is a person, he's a hothead, or he's stupid, or he's not frum, or whatever it might be, or you tell him that his father was once put in jail, or he covers some criminals, and so forth and so on, that's Loshon Hara. A third category is Meitzi Shemra. It's learned from another pasuk in the Torah. That's if you damage someone's reputation with statements which are not true. In other words, in civil law, this is known as a slandering someone. And the fourth category is Bali Loshon Hara. Bali Loshon Hara are people who do not do this from time to time, but they do it all of the time. People who are always engrossed in these things. Loshon Hara, when you speak badly about a person, about something that's true, from one aspect, that's less an evil than if you slander someone falsely. But from another aspect, it can be worse. Because if you say something badly about the person, let's say a person comes to a new city, and you say something you know about him, if it's true, and when investigated, it can ruin his reputation. While if you spread false rumors, from an aspect it's worse because it's false, but from another aspect, it's better. Because if investigated, they'll find out it was rumors, and he'll clear his reputation. The severity of these averes is already known to us. We have given countless shiurim on these, and the Torah, and the Rishonim, the commentaries, and in particular the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who lived just in the past generation, devoted a whole life to write about this. But just to quote what the Rambam writes on it, at the end of Hilchos Deos, he says, by Rechilus, this is Oven Godel, a great Aveda, Vegerim Laharig Nefoshes Rabbis B'Israel. And you can come through tale-bearing to kill many, many innocent people in Israel. And that's why the Torah writes, next to it, Leisamer al dam re'echo, you shall not stand by the blood of your brother. Then he writes, Loshon Hara, where you damage someone's reputation, that's Yesh Oven Godel Mizemi'ait. That's even greater. That's even worse. And Omru Chachomim, the sages say that the three worst avedas in the Torah is idolatry, immorality, that means adultery or incest, and the spilling of blood. Loshon Hara keneged kulam, and Loshon Hara equals all three. And in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, he says that the Bali Loshon Hara, the all Loshon Hara, or what we're speaking about, are
are very, very great Aveiras. The fact is, it's probably the greatest Aveira in the Torah. But the severe punishments refer to the Balei Loshon Hara, to those who always do this. See, not someone who happened to be nishuli, happened to be tripped up once a blue moon, but to those who always do this. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva classifies the Balei Loshon Hara amongst those who ain lehem chelek leilam habah, heaven forbid, that if they die without tshuva, they lose their portion in the world to come. And the Chofetz Chaim, in his Psycho, to his Sefer, amongst the many things that he writes, he says as follows. This is near the end of his Psycho. Another reason why we find that the Torah was so took such a hard line against this, if one will study these Averis, he'll find that they encompass almost every Avera in the Torah which exists between man and his fellow man. And many of the Averis in the Torah which exist between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem. So this is what the Chofetz Chaim summarizes. So we see that we're dealing with a very, very severe Avera. Many facets of Loshon Hara we're well familiar with from our own studying and from the many shurim that were given on this. But there is one facet which unfortunately we're not too familiar with, and that is Rechila's tale-bearing. And that I would like to speak about this evening. The Rambam that we quoted before in Hilchos Deos says that Ezehu Rochel. What is the Rochel? What is the tail there? Ze shetein dvorim behelik mizelezeh. That's a person who picks up information and he walks from one person to the other and he says, Kach omai pleni, kach shemati al pleni. And he says, he goes to Reuven and he says, this is what I heard Shimon say about you. Or, this is what I heard Shimon wants to do in regards to you. Afal pishu hu emeth. And even if it's true, but if it's something which is going to cause sinas or achim, hatred between man and his brother, then hareze machriv es ha'elam. Then that man is destroying the world. So Rechilas is not Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara is where I say something bad about Reuven. Rechilas is not where I say anything bad about Reuven. I merely tell Shimon that Reuven said this about him. Or so-and-so intimated something about him. Or any information I tell him, which will be ma'era, which will inflame machlekes. So it's a new concept. So we all know that you're not allowed to damage a person's reputation. But make machlekes that you're not allowed to. That's a love, that's a leisasa. That we learn out from leisia leike kerech va'adosei. A person is not allowed to be like kerech va'adosei. Then we learn out that it's a prohibition to make machlekes, to make strife. But that's actually where you go and make machlekes. Over here I'm not going and making machlekes. I'm just carrying some information that I heard that someone said about you, and I bring it to you, and that information is inflammatory. That's a red herring. When you hear it, you're liable to hit the ceiling. You're liable to become very angry and very upset. In such a case, people will say, well, why can't I say it? I have a right to say it. Now, even though it's true, but this person is destroying the world. You know, it would be good to interject here. We live in a time of Machlekes. We live in a time of Rechilus. Not long ago we celebrated Yom Ha'atzmaut. Yom Yerushalayim is coming. I get lots of people that come and tell me. They come and they ask me that, you know, Yom Ha'atzmaut is supposed to be a celebration. Good thing happened. Yom Yerushalayim. why does it always cause a machleik, so much machleikis, and why? How do we deal with all of this? What are they referring to? People will daven in one place, and they'll go to another place, and they'll say, you know, there they didn't say halal, or they did say halal. There they said tachna, and they didn't say tachna. There they said it with a brocha, without a brocha, or vice versa. And when the other people that you're telling this to, they hear about it. Oh, right away, it's a storm. Well, that's the best kind of rechilus. This person, by bringing information that he knows can stir trouble, hareza machlivas olam, he is destroying the world. Or people will come and they say, you know, I was there, and you know what kind of meat they ate. Well, you know what they did. This is the rochel that Rashi is talking about. This is the peddler. Goes from place to place, gleans information that he knows can cause a great stir. He brings it to these places. Even though it's true, he is destroying the world. The geirim laharig nefoshes rabbis b'Israel, and it causes to kill many people in Israel. Why? Why does it cause to kill many people in Israel? What right does the Rambam have to say this? He says, "Seyul amar ma'ir aledei gadoni." Go and learn from Doeg ho adoni, which we will look at in a minute. It's interesting to note that Rambam later, like mentioned, then says that there's an oven, there's an avera greater than this. And this is loshon hara when you slander someone's reputation. The Ravid argues. The Ravid says no. He says rechilas is more severe than loshon hara. So it's a machlekes, it's a dispute between the Ravid and the Rambam, which is more severe. Now, this that the Rambam refers to Doeg HaAdomi, I'd like to learn a little of that parsha in Nach with you, because this serves as one of the great sources for rechilas, which we learn many dinim from, many halochos. It's in Shmuel Aleph, Perechof Aleph, and Chof Beis. Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, became very, very angry at David HaMelech. And he became jealous of him. And he wanted to take his life. So David had to run away. Vayokum Vayelech, Vayenesen, he departed with Yenesen. Yenesen said to David, Leich L'Sholom, go in peace. We always will have a bond between us and between our seed. This was after the case of the shooting of the arrows, which we read on Mochor Chedesh, on the day before Rosh Chedesh, when Shabbos comes up before Rosh Chedesh of the Daftera. And David ran away. Now, he had to leave immediately. So he ran away himself, because he had Yenis and had found out that Shaul was after him. He wanted to kill him, so he became a fugitive. So he ran away without any bread and any arms. Actually, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings that had Yehonasan given him some breads to take along, then the whole business would have been averted. We see how important it is that when you send someone away, the Gemara says, to make sure he has food to take with him. This is what the Gemara, Gidela Legima. How great is it when you give someone food? But they were too much in the Behola, there was too much of a panic, so he ran away with nothing. He came to Novo, to Nov, Bayobe Dove Nova El Achimelech HaKain. He came to the city of Nov. Irakanim, this was a city of Kahanim. And he went to the head Kain to Achimelech. And when Achimelech saw him, Vayechrat, he became shaken. He said, Madu Atolavadech Veinish Itos. You are the nichbod, you're the honored one in the house of the king. You're the king's son-in-law. He says, why are you alone? And there's no one with you. So David didn't want to tell him about the machlekes. So he merely said that the king has sent me on a very, very important, urgent mission, top secret, and therefore I had to leave immediately. And the Naorim, the lads that were with me, I've already sent ahead, and that's why I'm here. So he says, what can I do for you? He says, perhaps you have something for me to eat, 5 loaves of bread. So he said, and even bread you didn't take? He said, I didn't take bread or weapons because the mission was so urgent I had to leave immediately. So he said, yes, I have some bread. He gave him bread. Then David asked him, perhaps you have a weapon? He says, the only weapon I have is Her of Goliath, the sword of Goliath, the giant that you killed that has been here. If you want, take it. So he gave him the sword. Herev Goliath Aplishti Asher Ikiso Beima Ka'ila. Bisham Ish Me'abde Shaul Bayemahu. Now at that time there was a man who was of the servants of Shaul. Natsol Ifnei Hashem Ushmei Deig Ha'ademi. And this was Deig Ha'ademi. Now who was this person? It states Natsol Ifnei Hashem, he had secluded himself before Hashem. Rashi says that he was Yeshiv Ha'esik B'Torah. This was the Mishkun. He was sitting there and he was learning Torah. Abir Haroim. He was Abir Haroim. What does it mean, Abir Haroim? Shohoya Av Bezdin, Rashi says. He was the head of the Bezdin of Shaul. He was from the Sanhedrin. He was a great, great individual. So he heard what went on. Then David took the bread and the sword and he went on his way and he went on to another city. Then in the Nach it states that the battle between Shaul, the anger of Shaul became worse, and he was looking for David and he couldn't find him. And then he heard that he's hiding somewhere. So he called his men. Shaul called all of his close men to him and he said, Shibu no b'nei yimini, listen to me, you people of Binyamin from my tribe. He says, why are you withholding information from me? Why has no one told me where Ben Yishai, where David has hid, where he has hid himself? Ki keshatim kulcham halai. Have you all made an alliance to stand up against me? The ein gele es ozni. And nobody wants to give me the information that I need. Are you no longer loyal to me? And he put pressure on his close servants. Why doesn't anyone tell me where Ben Yishai, where David is? So there was Deig Ha'ademi, and he was the head of the servants of Shaul. So he said, he has to be loyal to the king. So he said, Rises ben Yishai bon Eivah, El Achimelech ben Achituv. I saw David come to Nov and to Achimelech. And he asked for food. They gave him food. And he gave him the hair of the sword of Goliath. So Shaul sent Achimelech. And he sent for Achimelech and for his whole household. And they all came to the king. And he said, why have you rebelled against me? Why did you go and you gave bread and a sword to David? And Achimelech said, "Mi bechol avadecha ki David neman." Is that rebelling against you? Who is a more faithful servant than David Amelech, Hasan Amelech, the son of the king? I should not listen to what he asked. He's the most honored in your house. And Shaul said, "Meis tomus Achimelech, for this you shall die. Ato v'chol beis tovicho, you and your entire household." And the king said to his servants, he said, "Kill them." And they refused to listen. I said, "We're not allowed to listen. They won't kill." So vayem Amelech al Deig. So he said to Deig, "You're the one who brought me the information. Then you have to kill them. Save ato ufgabe kahanim." So he went and he killed Achimelech and he killed his household. He killed Shmein v'chamisho Ish, 85 Kahanim that day, And then they went and they killed off as Nev Ira Kahanim Hikolef Yicher Mish Mish Adisho. They went and they killed off the whole city, men and women, Me'el Vadjenik, child, Shove Hamor Veselef Yicholef, all of the animals. This is the story. So this is what the Rambam says, that someone who is a Reichel, Afal Pishu Emes, even though what he's saying is true, he causes the death of many in Israel. Sail them out, go and learn from day qua day. Now from here we can learn many dinim. Many of these dinim, these halachos which I'm quoting, which I'm mentioning, are brought in the Meforshim, and in particular in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Firstly, we see that it brings death, like the Rambam says. Secondly, we see that even if the information is brought, it's true. Nevertheless, it's the healers. Many people say, but it's true, it's true. I did see this, I did hear this. Well, this also is true. So true, it has, is no is no exemption from the healers. Thirdly, what happens if someone, if I bring information to you about someone that he said something about you or he did something in regards to you, but it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing in his eyes. His eyes, he said, what he said was very good, and what he did was very good. Would that also be Rechilas? Maybe Rechilas is only when he says something bad about you, so then I carry that information to you. But when he says something which to his eyes is good, and he meant well with it. And not only that, but if we'll go back and ask him, he'll be proud of the fact. That's not Rechilus. No. We see even here is Rechilus. Because Achimelech did what he thought was good. He gave bread and weapons to David. So he thought that was good. And he was proud of it. And even when the king asked him, did he do it? He said, sure I did it. I helped the king with it, because who's more honored in the house of the king than David? And still we see it was Rechilus. So from here we learn an additional halacha. Not when you, when Reuven says something which is bad about Shimon, and I carry it to Shimon, that's Rechilus. But if Reuven says something which he thought was good about Shimon, or he was doing a favor for Shimon, and I know if I'll tell Shimon, it's going to inflame him, anger him, that's also Rechilus. The fact is, that's the classical case of Rechilus, where we learn this from. So that's another halacha that we learn. Another instance we can learn from here, someone might say that I told you this information, and you got angry, but you had no right to get angry. So therefore, it's not my fault. I carried information to a person, and when he heard, he got angry, but he had no right to get angry. Therefore, it's not my fault. No, it's still your fault. Shaul didn't have a right to get angry. Shaul didn't have a right to go kill all of the people. He had a right, just because Achimelech gave bread and a sword to David, he had a right to kill him. He had a right to kill all of the people in the city. So the reaction was not justified at all. So why do you hold me responsible for an unjustified action? Why do you hold Dag responsible for an unjustified action? Yet Dag in Kol HaShas, in the whole Talmud, is always referred to as the Reichel. He was Gedim. Even though Shaul's reaction was unjustified, but he is the one who caused it. And therefore, the blood was on his hands. And David HaMelech, in the next Perek, takes an oath that there always will be war between him and Daig for this. Another halacha. What happens if I carry information from Reuven and I give it to you, but my intentions are good intentions? I don't mean to make machlekes. You know, you have people that will go from one family to another, or from one shul to another shul. or one group to another group, and their intention is to make machlekes. But what happens if I carry information from one to the other, and my intentions are good? I don't mean to make machlekes. My intentions are good. Is that also rechilus? We see from this case it is. Because Doeg did not have evil intentions. Doeg was a great person. Doeg was Ne'atzal Lifnei Hashem. He was sitting in the base of Medrash B'Nesik B'Torah. He was Avir Horoim. He was the Av Bezdi, Sanhedrin. He wasn't such an evil person. He merely wanted to assist Shaul. So his intentions were good. His intentions certainly weren't to create a war. And yet still the finger is pointed at him as being the Reichel that was Gerim, Laharig Nefoshes Rabbis Bishrael, of killing many in Israel. That's another halacha we learn. So we learn that even if the person does said what he said, in his own eyes it was good, and he would defend what he said. And even if the one who's saying it over is not intending to make machlekes, he has good intentions. And even if a not justified reaction comes from it, nevertheless, this is all rechilus. Now we can learn another hour. What would be if, let's say, I come home one day from shul, and my father or mother, person's father or mother, says that they heard something was said about them in shul. Tell me what it was. And I tell them, look, I don't want to tell. I keep my mouth shut because it wasn't so nice. And they said, no, I command you to tell me. I demand. Just keep it aveim. Or better yet, what happens if you come home and your rebbe tells you? You heard that they were talking about him. And you got a feeling that someone said something not nice about him. Tell me what was said. Have you kveid raboch, ki kveid shamayim? A person has to have fear of his rebbe like a kodesh baruch hu. What happens if a kodesh baruch hu would ask you? What's the halacha? So Chofetz Chaim learns from here, the halacha is, it's osur min hateres. You're not allowed to tell. You're not allowed to tell under no circumstances. And he says, besides the fact that this shouldn't need any raya, shouldn't need any proof. Because what would happen, he says, if your father and mother would tell you to eat a piece of chazir, some pig, so do we say keep it out of the aim? Or if your rebbe would tell you to eat some pig, do we say keep it out of the aim? You're certainly not allowed to. So why is this different? This is 10 times worse, 100 times worse. But he says, still we can bring a raya, we can bring a proof from here. Because Doeg did not speak up willingly. It was only after Shaul accused his close circle of being rebels against him. Kishtartem alai, you have made an alliance against me, and you're withholding information. You're not telling me where David is. Only after he accused them, and he hammered them, and he rebuked them, then finally Doeg stood up. So he stood up, Machmas Kfeir HaMelech. He was answering in honor of the king. And the Gemara Kedushin brings that Kfeir HaMelech, honor of the king, is greater than Kfeid Rabbi and Kfeid Aviv Imai, is even greater than the honor of a Rebbe or honor of a father and mother. Because if they're Meichel, if they wave their honor, it's waved. But Melech Shemochel Kfeid Ein Mochel, Ein Kfeid Mochel, but a king cannot wave his honor. So he says, really, we don't need proofs on this, but if you want to bring a proof, you have a proof from here. And still he was held responsible. He couldn't answer and say, look, I had to answer the king. So these are some of the principles, you saw this, that we learn in Rechilus from this case. We'll go to another case, which is also used as a classical source in this deen. Also quoted on Shabbos. The Gemara in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara tells us there were three, Yosef, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosef, Reb Shimon. There were three of the Tanoim, of the rabbis of the Mishnah, who was they were sitting and discussing. The Rabbi Yesi that's here was, the Rabbi Shimon that was here was the Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy. Yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayo. And there was another person who was Yehuda ben Gerim. And he was listening. So first one said, Rabbi Yehuda, not Yehuda ben Gerim. Yehuda said, he says, how beautiful are the works of the Romans. They built great shopping centers. They built big bridges. They built great pools and bathhouses. When Rabbi Yesi heard this, he kept quiet. He didn't agree with it, but he kept quiet. When Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai heard this, he said, I disagree. Everything that they've done, they've only done for themselves. They made marketplaces in for their own benefit or for immorality. They made beautiful bathhouses for their own gratification. They made bridges to collect taxes. So this was the discussion. One praised, the other kept quiet, and the third one, Reb Shimon Yochai, he went and was Magana, he spoke against him. Halak Yehuda ben Gerim, v'sipa divreha. Yehuda ben Gerim went, and he told over what was said. B'nishmu l'malchus, and it came to the ears of the government. Now we have to understand who was Yehuda ben Gerim, and what does it mean he said over? Tosfos brings that Yehuda ben Gerim from other Masechtos was an ish kosher. He was a Talmud Chacham. Yehuda ben Gerim was not a someone from the KGB. Yeah, he was not a member of the Gestapo, heaven forbid. But Tosfos brings that he was a ish kosher, and he was a Talmud. Gavra Rabbi even brings. He was a person of stature. Anfei Tzura, the Gemara refers to him. A person of stature. So what does it mean he went? What was he? A Malshin. Right? He was going to go give information to the government. So it doesn't say he told the government. He said he sipir divreim v'nishmu l'malchus. He merely said over what he heard, and it came to the ears of the government. So Rashi says, what does it mean he said over? So Rashi brings Le Talmidov or Le Oviv Imai. He told it over to his Talmidim. Why? He wanted to teach them Torah. He wanted to show what the Tanoim thought of the government. One said good, one kept quiet, one went and criticized. Or Le Oviv Imai. Or he said it over to his father and mother. But heaven forbid he didn't go to give this information to the government, except it came to the ears of the Malchus. What happened? When they heard this, they said, Yehuda She'ila Yisale, Yehuda who praised us, we're going to promote him. We're going to give him an important public position. Yesi She'sosak, Yossi that kept quiet, he didn't agree. He didn't disagree, but he didn't agree either. Yigola Letzipori, we're sending him into Golos, we're exiling him. He'll be from the exiles to Tzipori. Shimon Menichoi, Shegino, that criticized us. Yehorek, he will be put to death. So this is the story where Shimon Yochai had to go and he hid in the Beis HaMedrash with his son, and then he went and he hid in the cave. This has to do with Lag BaOmer was coming up, right? Because there's a tradition, many say that he came out of the cave on Lag BaOmer, or his Yahrzeit comes out on Lag BaOmer, or he got married on Lag BaOmer. There's different traditions, but at any rate he went for years and he hid in the cave. Years later one day he's walking along, and he became very, very great at Reb Shimon Yochai. Very great, because he and his son learned Torah the whole time. Years later, he's walking along, Chazil Yehuda ben Gerim, and he bumps into this fellow, Yehuda ben Gerim. Omar Eidain Yesh Lezeba Eilam. He says, is this fellow still in the world? Nosan Be'enov, he gave him a look. And Vosu Gal Shalat Somis. And Yehuda ben Gerim turned into a pile of bones. He gave him a look of anger. And Yehuda ben Gerim died. Why did he die? Because he was the cause. He was the Reichel that caused so much tzar, so much difficulty and anguish and affliction for Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Now, what can we learn from here? What did he do? He took information that he knew about Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and through him, it came to the government, which caused danger. So what can we learn from here? Firstly, we will learn from here, and this is brought from the Rambam brings us. The Rambam says like this, that Rechilus is not only when you go and you carry that information to that person himself, but echad amasapet beloshno bifnei haverei, or mesapet dvorim shegormim im nishma ish mipi ish lahazik haverei begufa b'mayno. Even when you say over this information to people, which this information will cause no danger in the hands of these people, but because it's said over from one to the other, it will eventually comes to a person that through this it will cause machlekes, it will cause trifer danger, then it is Rechilus, you are responsible. So we see that it's not only if I bring this information to you that I know that by doing this it will cause strife, but even if I say it over innocently, I come home and I tell my father, I tell my mother, I tell my wife, I tell my talmidim some information that if this information ends up in the wrong hands, it can cause danger. This is Rechilus. So this is what the Rambam brings and the Chofetz Chaim brings from here. From here we learn how careful we have to be with any information that can cause hezek, can cause danger to a person. See, many times we say that, look, Reuven said such a thing, I'll tell you, but don't tell anyone else, because if it gets into the wrong hands, it can be trouble. That's Rechilus. If you know something about Reuven, that if this information will get into the wrong hands, it can be dangerous, then you keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth closed. And don't tell anyone. And if you do, then you're responsible for any danger that will eventually come from that. Like we see from Shimon ben Gera. He went and he told it to his wife, he told it to his parents, he told it to his Talmidim. If you want to tell your Talmidim or your wife something which you think is important or you think it's good for them to know, but it can endanger an individual, then you say it over anonymously. You say it over that someone said such and such a thing, but you don't say who. Because information travels. And you are the one who is causing it to travel. And therefore, by saying it over, even to innocent people, if it ends up in the hands of the wrong people, you're responsible. You carry the responsibility, like we see in the end, Shimon ben Gerim died because of this. Especially if you're dealing with information that could entrap a Jew, if certain non-Jews will find out about it. Or let's say an anti-Semitic government will find out about it. For example, people in Russia know that. In Russia, you don't say anything that might endanger an individual, even to an innocent person. That's one halacha that we learn from here. Secondly, we also see what we saw before also. What happens if I say something over, but my intentions are not evil? Intentions are not evil at all. Here we see, Shimon ben Gerim, his intentions wasn't to get Chas v'Sholom Reb Shimon ben Yochai into trouble. He himself was an Anshei Tzura, he was a man of great character. So he had good intentions. He probably wanted to say over, he said, we can learn from Shimon ben Yochai. Everybody's going around praising the great buildings and the great civilization of the Roman Empire. He says, we can learn from Shimon ben Yochai. Because he sees right through it. He sees what it is for what it is. And he was teaching his Talmidim. So his intentions were good. Still, he carried the responsibility. He wasn't allowed to say it. If he wants to say, he should have said, I heard a great person say this, and not say any name. And The Chofetz Chaim brings from the Ramban that the Ramban says that we see the same thing from the Sifri. By Miriam, when Miriam went and said Loshon Hara on Moshe, and she said that Moshe had separated himself from his wife and he was doing something that he was not allowed to after the giving of the Torah, and she told Aaron, so the Sifri says Af al pi, even though the Sifri says Umam Miriam shalein iskavna legamesa, even though her intentions, heaven forbid, were not to deride Moshe. She wasn't trying to deride Moshe. She was talking to Aaron to try to make peace that Moshe should return to his wife. So she wasn't trying to deride. Still, she was stricken with the tzaras, with the leprosy. So she says the same thing by Rechilus, that even if you carry this information and you're not trying to cause trouble, but it causes trouble, then you're guilty. So these are some of the points that we see from this Gemara. Now we'll go to another Gemara. Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mishnah Daf Kof Tes. Mishnah Kof Tes states, if they have a case before them, the judges, and they hear the arguments, and then they sit down, the judges sit down, they retire to discuss the case. They send the litigants out. And two say that he's innocent, and one says that he's guilty. That he's innocent. They will call back the litigants. And the head judge would say, "Ish pleni ato zakeh, ish pleni ato chayev." He would say, "You are found guilty, or you are found innocent, or you are found guilty." Uminayin likshiyet shleyemer. Now, how do we know that after the case, one judge shouldn't come up? Let's say he was found guilty. Two judges said guilty, and I was the third judge, and I held he was innocent. How do I know after the case, I'm not allowed to come up to him and I say, "Look, Ani mezakeh, I really held you were innocent." But chaveroi bechayovim, bechaverim bechayovim, avol ma'asei shechaveroi bolai. But my colleagues, they held you were guilty, and I couldn't do anything about it because they were the majority. Can I say such a thing? Because I want to remove. Look, I'm not trying to blame them. I'm not trying to cause any hatred towards them, but I want to remove any stigma for myself. Here, we just convicted this guy, and he's got to pay a fine of 10,000 rand. So I want to let him know that I'm not the one that held he was guilty. I held he was innocent. I held you were innocent. See? So don't have anything on me. And I did all I could, but what can I do, my answer? They're the majority. Can a person say that? So the Mishnah says, heaven forbid. If he says that, he's even an Aveda Gemura. He transgresses a severe prohibition of the Chilus. Because what is he doing? He is directing and removing, or he's localizing this person's anger at the other two judges. See, this way the person couldn't have been too angry because he doesn't know who said what. Now he knows exactly who is against him, so he's redirecting that person's anger at those two people, so he's not allowed to say it. The Gemara comes along, and Daf Lamed. The Gemara says, when the judges write it down, they write down the psak, so later on there shouldn't be, a year later there shouldn't be a whole tumult as to what was said. So that when they write it down, the Gemara says, how should they write it down in such a case? So the Gemara has a discussion. Rabbi Yechanan says, in such a case where two said he was innocent and one guilty, he writes Zakai. You just write down innocent. Reish Lakish says no. He says you can't write down just innocent, because then it seems implies it was unanimous. So you write down Reuven and Shimon held he was innocent. That's all. You don't write that the other judge held he was guilty, but you write Reuven and Shimon, because Midvar Sheker Tirchok, because otherwise it seems unanimous. And Ablezer says, You simply write down midivreim nisdaku pleni. From the discussions of the judges, it comes out that the person is innocent. That's what you write down. So the Gemara explains. It says, Rabbi Yochanan says, you cannot write down that these two judges hold you are innocent, which implies that the other one held you were guilty, because that's l'shelech rochel. You're saying l'chilus on the third one. And the Shloki says you can't write down simply he was innocent, because it seems that it would be unanimous. Therefore, the Blazer says, Kasvi hoch, you write like this, midivreim nisdako pleni. That from the discussions of the judges, the conclusion was is that you're innocent. From there we can read in, not necessarily it was unanimous, and at the same time we don't know who said what. And the Gemara says, hoch hilchus, this is the halacha, this is what we must do. Then the Gemara brings at the end of the sugya, and Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbonim, minayin l'kshiyetze le'yemari mzake v'chavera mechayvin. How do we know? It brings the case before. How do we know that once they go out, then one of the judges can come over and he says, look, really the others are the ones who convicted you, not me. Don't hold anything against me, because it says Leiselech Rochel, and it says Heilech Rochel Megaliseid. It means the pasuk from Mishle, that a Rochel, this peddler, this gossiper, is someone who reveals secrets. Therefore he can say, cannot say anything. Mora brings out, who told me that the Nofek Alei Okole the Goli Milsa, the Itma be Midrosh Bosa Esrim Vetatit Shnin. There was a disciple who, it was said upon him that he revealed something that was discussed in the Beis HaMedrash 22 years afterwards. In other words, in the Beis HaMedrash, a case came before them. This was by Rabbi. Case came. And in the discussion, they had to make a decision, or they had to, by a court, you have to say Lashon Hara. You're called to testify, so you have to. But you're not doing it to downride the person, you're doing it to defend the other person. The other person himself or his money, whatever it might be. So Rashi says it was the Var Lashon Hara. So after they judged the case, nobody said a word for 22 years. 22 years later, a Talmud that was there, he felt, look, everybody's long forgot about it, makes no difference now anyhow. So he told someone what took place. When Rabbami heard about it, Afke Rabbami me made the roshu. Rabbami threw him out of the Beis HaMedrash. He told him to leave the Beis HaMedrash and never come back to my Beis HaMedrash again. Dein goli rasho. And he said, this is a person who has revealed secrets. I do not want him in my Beis HaMedrash. Now this is not a Dvar Garta. See, this is not just a nice medrash. The Rambam brings us lahalocha. The Rambam in Hilchos Aden Sanhedrin in Perechov Beis brings these halochas, Perechov Beis halocha Zayin. So he brings you Maisa b'Talmud Echod. There was a case with a Talmud, a disciple, Shehetzi Dvorim Shnemru b'Beis HaMedrash, where he revealed what was said over in the Beis HaMedrash La'acha Shtayim v'Esrim Shona, after 22 years. V'Heitzi Uhu mi Bezdin mi Beis HaMedrash. And the Bezdin threw him out of the Beis HaMedrash. They wouldn't let him come into that Beis HaMedrash anymore. V'Hichrizu Alov, and they declared on him Zeh Megaliseidu. He is a person who reveals secrets, and therefore we do not want him in our Beis HaMedrash. So we learn from what is this case? Firstly, it tells us that when there's a split decision, so one can come along and say to the litigants, don't blame me, I was for you, it was the others that were against you, but I couldn't do anything about it. If he does, he's a rochel. And we learn that when they write down the psak din, the decision, it must be written in a way where it cannot tell which judge said which, in order not to pin the rap on any individual judge or judges. And we learn from here that anything discussed in the Beis Din or in the Beis HaMedrash that might be derogatory about an individual, or can inflame, can be inflammatory, You're never allowed to carry that out of the Beis HaMedrash, even 22 years later. This is what we learn. This is what the Gemara tells us here. The following dinim. Firstly, that Rechilas is not only through speech, but through writing also. This is how Locha brought. Because the Gemara says, Heche Kasvinan, how do we write down the decision? And the Gemara says, you can't write down who said what, because Leiselech Rochel. So it's not only with speech, but writing also. It's a big problem for newspapers. When Yetz Hashem, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, and Eretz Yisrael and the world will go in accordance to the Halacha of the Torah, so a huge majority of newspapers are going to have to look for other jobs. That's A. B. Secondly, what we learn. Again, even if his intentions are not to cause machlekes or to deride someone. Because when this judge wanted to say, I wasn't against you, he wasn't interested that he should make machlekes between the litigant and the other judges. He was interested to remove guilt from himself. Don't hold me guilty for your decision. For your penalty. So he was only interested in removing guilt for himself. He was interested in clearing his name. He wasn't interested in creating a bad name for someone else or creating machlekes for someone else. Nevertheless, they say Lech Rochel. A lot of times I might say something that I want to clear my name, but it's going to cause machlekes with someone else. So that's the second point we learn from here. The third point we learn from here is how careful one has to be when he deals, when he's a member of a Beis Din, a yeshiva, or committees. Almost everyone, at some time or another, is involved in communal decisions, committee decisions, or business decisions with partners. Many times, the directors of a company or the heads of a business, they have to make a decision, let's say, to remove an employee or something else. Later on, he tells him, look, I tried my best for you, but the other guys, they're the ones who were against you, not me. Not allowed. This is Rechilus. But how many times do people sit on committees, and committees come to decisions, and then afterwards they go and they say, look, it was it wasn't me. This is Leiselech Rochel. They would be able this Aveda Chamura. They must say that this was the decision of the committee, and I'm not allowed to say anything outside of the committee. This was the decision of the executive, this was the decision of the board of directors, or whatever it might be. And I cannot go further. So that's another point that we learn from here. Now one final Gemara. There's a Gemara in Beit Cotton. This brings on the Pasuk of Kerach Vadosai. In the Machlekes of Kerach Vadosai, it states, Vayishlach Meisha Likre Ledosan and Aviron B'nei Elov. Meisha sent to call Dosan and Aviron, they were allied with Kerach, and the B'nei Elov, the others that were allied, to come and speak to him. Meisha sent. And they said, Lein Nale. And they said, we won't come. And they even said that ha'ene anoshim ahim tenake leinale, that even if you'll take these people's eyes out, we won't come. Rashi says they were referring to themselves. Even if you take our eyes out, we won't come to see you. But they didn't want to say it on themselves. It was a curse, so they said it on someone else. Even if you take those people's eyes out, we won't come. Vayichal ha'meshe me'ed. And Meshe, when he heard this, became very angry. Now what is going on? Why was Meisha so angry? So the Gemara in Meir Kotten and Tes Zayin, the Gemara learns from here a number of halachos in regards to a shliach Beis Din. When there's a litigation going on, and we want you to come. We want you to come too, because you're one of those who might be involved in the dispute, or maybe to testify, whatever it might be. Well, let's say you're one of those involved in the dispute. So the Gemara says, the Beis Din sends a shliach to summon him. And you summon him to come at such and such a time that he must be there. And if he refuses to come, so you give him a second summons, you give him a third summons. So there are many halachas in this. So Gemara says, how do we know? And we learn it out from here. Because we see Moshe wanted to summon Dothan Vaviram and his group because they were involved in the dispute. He wanted to call them to the Beis Din. They would settle the matter. So he sent a shliach, and the Gemara learns out many details. Then the Gemara says, how do we know that if this person we are summoning, he insults and curses the shliach? It can happen. The shliach comes with a summons from the Beis Din, and he says, the Beis Din wants you. So he curses him and insults him. How do we know if he curses and insults the shliach, and the shliach comes and tells now the Beis Din, it's not considered rechilas? In other words, the shliach has a right to go back to the Beis Din and say that I brought the summons to this fellow, but you should see what he told me or what he said about you. And he repeats it over. So the Gemara says he's allowed to, even though it's lishne bisha, even though it's rechilos, but he's allowed to in this special case because he's a shliach Beis Din. Where do we know it from? We know it from here because it says ha'ene anoshim ha'hem tenaker. So the Rosh and the Ram explain as follows. They didn't say that even if you'll take our eyes out, we will not come. They told the Shliach, you can tell Moshe Rabbeinu that if you'll come near us, we'll take his eyes out. That's what they said. And that's why it states, Vayicha leMoshe me'od. Moshe became very, very angry. So Gemara wants to know, how did Moshe know? How did Moshe know what they said? Says he sent the shliach to tell Dothan Vaviram and the Bnei Lov, come to the Beis Din and we'll have a meeting and we'll clear this up. And they came and they said that we will not come to you, we will not go up, and we will, and if you come to us, we'll take your eyes out. That's what they told the shliach. Then it says Vayichad Moshe me'od, and Moshe trembled with rage. Why? How did he know? The shliach told him. It's rechilus. How could the shliach tell him? How could the shliach go repeat to Moshe what they said on Moshe? Ein lecha rechilus g'day lemizu. It's rechilus. So that's what the Gemara says. Minolan, how do we know that even though you never have permission to say such a thing, but the shliach Beis Din does, that the summons officer has a right to bring back to the Beis Din, to the court, what that person said when he refused to come? How do we know? We know from here. So we see that here is a special exemption where one is allowed to say. Now, again, when the shliach said it over, he wasn't interested in making machlekes. It's his job. And his intentions were not bad. Still, you see, it's considered rechilas by any other person. But we see something even greater. The Chofetz Chaim here makes a very great observation. He says, who are we speaking about? We're speaking about Moshe and Dothan Vaviram. He says, Dothan Vaviram were people who tried to kill Moshe before. They were Maushim. They were the ones who gave the information to Paray that Moshe had killed the Mitzri. Akadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, return to Egypt, because those people who are mevakishes nafshei, who want to kill you, they're not around anymore. And the Gemara says it refers to Dothan Vaviram, Meshu. The Gemara says, aye, they didn't die. It says, Yodim and Chosov, but they became bankrupt. And a poor person, that's like a dead person. So what do we see? They were mevakishes nafshei. They were out to get Meshe's life. So he says, Avari Meshe had no love for these people. He hated them anyhow. They were the troublemakers all the time in the desert. Dosan Vaviru. Not only that, but they were a Mesis and Medea. Here they were the head of a band of 250 people, or whatever the number was, in a rebellion against Moshe, which mounted its claim on the fact that Torah's Moshe was not Emes. Moshe was saying he was doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and they said, rubbish. See? So he says, it's an isur to love a person like that. You're not allowed to love a person like that. They say ne Hashem, they hate Hashem. So Vadim Moshe had no love for these people. It was a long-standing machlekes. And these people, it's also to love people like this. So then what's the Raya Shliach? Bezdin is allowed to say Rechilus? Here, what's he doing with the Rechilus? Making machlekes. And there's been machlekes for years between these people. What's he going to do? Make one hate the other? They've hated each other for years. It's going back to Egypt already. So what's the proof from here that Ashley Bezdin can bring Rechilus? So he says, you see, this is even Rechilus. Even when an enemy of a person says something about him, you are not allowed to come and take that information to that person. Even an enemy. If it's not absolutely necessary, like in this case of Ishlich Bezdit. Because even though you're not creating the machlekes, it's an old machlekes, but you've been marbe machlekes. But you're inflaming it still. And therefore you're not allowed. So this is what he... And we're talking even people like Dosan Vaviram. How many times do we hear an anoshim ksherim? And good people, that people say Loshon Hara or Rechilus, and they say it's a mitzvah to say on him because he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he doesn't do this, it's a mitzvah. And here the Chofetz Chaim is showing that Andosin Vahaviram, you won't be allowed to say Rechilus. Andosin Vahaviram, he says, that they were the trouble of every possible trouble by Klal Yisrael. You see how far from Torah we are. Well, these so-called people that claim to speak in the name of Torah. That this is a mitzvah to say. So these are some of the sources that we brought. We brought the source from the Gemara, from Shmuel, Dei Gadaimi. We brought a source from the Gemara in Shabbos, Yehuda Ben Gerim. We brought a source from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. How should the judges say over, give over the decision? And we brought a source from the Gemara and made cotton by the Shliach Bezdin that's cursed at or insulted, that he's allowed to bring that information. He has a special exemption where he's allowed to bring that information back to the Bezdin, but no one else. And we see the great ramifications and the great severity. Now, in conclusion, a person has to realize what is the cause. Why do we find such a great cause on this? And in this, the Rambam writes. He writes the great cause of Lashon Hara and of Rechilus. He says is when people. Because people socialize with empty people. He says, when people come together and they socialize, they come, there's a social interaction with people who are empty, then it's impossible that there should not be empty talk. And empty talk comes to Lashon Hara and Rechilus. And he says, this is the great cause of Rechilus and Lashon Hara. He says this at the end of Hilchos Saras. He says, that's why we find that the Metzera that was stricken with this plague bought a Yeshev. He didn't know how to live with people. The Torah said, outside of the camp. He says, He says, therefore, leficha kurei lemi shereitze lechava nonichoisov. Therefore, it's befitting for a person who wants to walk in a proper path. Lisachek mi yeshivosan. He should keep his furthest distance from these type of people. Umeladaberi mohen. And from speaking with them. Kidei shela yitfas odem bereshes reshoim v'sichlusam. In order that you should not be caught up in their ways. He says, to the contrary. He says, this is what we find by the Rishoyim and by the Amearatzim, boorish people, empty people, idle people. This is the talk. And if you go and become part of them, then you're part of them. Sichas Ksheri Yisrael, though, a person should always look to associate with those people who are from the Ksheirim of Yisrael. How do you tell a kosher? Someone who's a Talmud Chocham, or someone that doesn't speak Lashon Hara, he doesn't speak Rechinus. And their talk is in Bedivrei Torah, or Bedivrei Chochma, or Bedivrei Mitzvahs. This is the type of circle a person should choose all of the time. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them. That's what it states, Oz Nidvere Yira Hashem Ishal Rehu. When people are together and they talk of Yiras Hashem, they talk of a mitzvah, of a chesed, or a divrei Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. And he writes it all down in his book. Who was there? This is what the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin. It says, Kinus l'tzadikim tev l'olam. When good people get together, this is good for the world. Why? Because what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk in divrei Torah. They're going to talk and they're going to say, I met so-and-so, and he lost his job, he needs money. Maybe here, right here, tonight, maybe we can put up some money for him. Or they're going to say that this person had a tragedy in his house. Let's go visit. I want to tell you this, so you should go visit him. Or so-and-so is sick in the hospital. Go visit him. Or this is a widow, she needs help. Can we raise some money here tonight? This is the type of talk of Ksheri. Therefore it states, Kinus l'tzadikim, when tzadikim come together, that's good for the world, because good things are going to come out of that. It says, Kinus l'rishoyim ra le'ilam. When the rishoyim come together, that's bad for the world. Because only resha will come out of that. Pizel l'tzadikim, when tzadikim are separated, that's bad for the world. Pizel l'rishoyim, when the rishoyim are separated, tov le'ilam, that's good for the world. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, was very emphatic with this. We're talking about 250 years ago. But he was very emphatic. And he told his daughters and his wife, he says, don't go to so many social functions. He says, don't even go to shul, he told them. Because what happens? People go to a social function. Not only if it's pure socializing, but he was telling them, afilu shel mitzvah. You take a social function today, everybody's got their eyes out. She's wearing a lot of jewelry. He says, then you'll come home and you, it's kino. You want jewelry. She has beautiful clothing. You want clothing. Why? Because you went to a simcha. What's it got to do with the simcha? You went to the simcha to be mesameach to chosn v'kala, or you went to shul to daven, or you went to honor the father or the mother with your presence. Now, what's the discussion? Discussion is what's he serving such an elaborate meal for, or why didn't he serve more? Or the discussion is it a good caterer or not a good caterer, damaging reputations of caterer, professional reputations? Or is the discussion, why was there mixed seating, or why was there separate seating, or why was there a mechitza, or why was there not a mechitza, or why was there mahadrin, or why was there not mahadrin, and so forth and so on. But this is the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Simcha Shel Mitzvah that the Torah commanded us on. Chavileis v'chavileis. Tons of averus come out from there. Which the Rambam says, Gerim lahareg nefoshes b'Yisrael. That causes death in Israel. And from Simchashet, the Gaon saw that. He was an extreme in it. Because he writes consistently about these Averas. And he told his daughters, he says, better stay home. He says, even better daven at home. It's an interesting aura. Rabbi Cheskel Sana, the Heaven Rosh Hashiva Zeche Tzadik Levrocha, there was a Talmud from Eliezer Gordon. He wrote Hagos, he wrote notes on the letter of the Gaon. So he writes there that he thinks he only told his daughters that, because they're not obligated in Talmud Torah and learning Torah. But by sons, there it says to the contrary, it says, Kenei lechochover, marbe chokma, marbe yeshiva, marbe chokma. It says, a person cannot isolate himself too much, because for learning Torah, you have to come together with other people to learn. You have to learn in the yeshiva. But what do we learn from all of this? You're dealing with enormous averas that ruins a person, it ruins himself, it ruins his chaverim, it ruins communities. And there is no greater problem of the generation that we have today in Klal Yisrael than this problem of machlekes. And wherever you go, you see it. And a person has to be very, very careful for it. And this means, you want to go? Go to a simcha. But go to be mesameach the chosen and kala. Go to be mesameach the parents. And the mechutonim. And then go home. Or go there to speak b'divrei mitzvahs. If you see some people, go tell them mitzvahs, some mitzvahs that they can help with. Or go to make some people feel good. There's someone down, go over to them and make them feel good. That is a simcha shel mitzvah. But to go there to criticize and to comment and to make observations. And who's asking you? Well, this is what you're coming for. For Achilles, for Lashon Hara. This is what the Gaon said. Then it would be 100 more mitzvahs. You'd have 1,000 more mitzvahs by staying home. Kinus tzaddikim estev la'elam. When tzaddikim come together, only good can come from it. But that can never be if there's going to be Lashon Hara or Achilles. Shorim come together. That's not good. So these are some important, very important principles that touch the heart of Klal Yisrael. The Maral writes that the greatest curse of the Golus is the dissension. And the greatest way that we can be memayit, we can minimize in the Golus, is memayit, be memayit, to minimize that dissension. And we see we're trapped here, that wherever you go, there's this machlekes of dissension. So a person should know that the more he works on uniting people, what we call uniting, we mean bringing love between man and his friend. Avas Achim, that is the greatest mitzvah that a person can do in the Golos. We should be zeicher to fulfill these halachos.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.